Amen. God is good. Amen. Man, this is such a powerful series on the seven deadly sins. Can you say that with me? Seven deadly sins. Surely the scripture didn't make a mistake in calling them that. They are deadly. I mean, they not only kill you physically, they can kill you mortally and spiritually. And you know, when we're given the opportunity to choose a subject to speak about, I chose everything but this subject that we're going to talk about today. And I am so mad that Pastor Ken assigned me to anger. No, don't really. I'm just teasing you, all right? But yeah, I was assigned to anger, and I was wondering if God wanted, there was a subtle message there with that. But I found out that, anger is definitely a spiritual matter, and it can become deadly, very deadly. But before we go on, let's lay a foundation on this, okay? And the scripture foundation is very important as we lead into dealing with this subject. And the scripture reads in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, that we were all created, all mankind was created by God. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. He created him. He created us in his image, okay? If you can imagine with me for a moment how God was creating man, you know, putting the head here, the arms there, the fingers here, creating everything that was what we know on the outside, then God started working on the inside of us, of who we are. And this is the most complex part of us, of what God started creating. It's the most vastness of who we are. See, our body is just a very small glimpse of who we are on the inside. When God started working on this most integral, larger part of who man is, it's the inner man of who we are. The psalmist wrote it this way in Psalms 139. You formed my inward parts. All of us have an inner man. No one can deny that. We all have the inner man. The inner man is our soul, is our spirit. It's where our mind and heart are intertwined all together. And you know, all of this is such so intertwined, so complex that it's really hard to distinguish between one and another. It is so vast, so complicated, so big. I heard a story one day of a little girl was in Sunday school, and the teacher was asking the kids, how big is God? And all the kids raised their hand. I know, and the teacher, and little Tommy says, God is bigger than the elephants. And the other guy says, no, you don't know anything. God's bigger than the whales. God's bigger than the mountains. Everybody was saying, you know, how big God is. And there was a little girl on the corner of the table, and she was thinking about it, you know, and the teacher noticed her. And I think she said the deepest thing. She said, Mary, I saw that you haven't said anything, but I see you thinking. How big do you think God is? And she said it this way. God is so big that he's everywhere, and yet he's so small that he fits in my heart. I think she said it all. Come on, let's give it up for the Lord on that one. All right. The great theologian of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he reveals these truths about the inner man. He writes it in three different occasions about the inner man. In Romans 7:22, he writes the inner man, or the inner being. Again, in 2 Corinthians 4:16, he writes about the inner self. And the last reference is in Ephesians 3:16 about the inner man. So it's something that's real, that inside of us there is a soul, there is a spirit. This is who we are on the inside. It is here with this amazing capacity that God has given us where God abides as well. He lives here. And yet, right there where God placed himself and us understanding that we are not only body, we are soul and spirit. That's what the scripture says, that who we are, of who we are composed of. God placed everything that we are in how we express life there as well. It is here where God has given us these emotions. These are God-given blessings that God has given us to enjoy life, to express life, to actually do life. Things such as love, laughter, confidence, tranquility, surprise, excitement, hope, achievement, and peace. They're all in us. And then these are just a few to mention the of the thousands of emotions that we have within this soul and within this spirit. And these emotions are good. I don't know about you, but I like love, okay? No one said amen, okay? I love laughter, okay? I enjoy life, okay? But yet within this inner man, there's a paradox. It's something that's like, it's hard to imagine, it's hard to define, but these things are there as well. You know, they go from one extreme to another. It's kind of like, you know, certain flavors that are out there, they're one extreme to another, like sweet and sour sauce. You know what I'm talking about? The other day they gave me mango hot sauce. It's kind of like, okay, it's sweet, but it's hot. Wait, it's hot, but it's sweet. It's like fried ice cream, right? These extremities that are in life. Well, the same thing happens within us, within that soul, within that spirit, because it is there where we will experience love and hate, laughter and sadness, confidence and fear, tranquility and anxiety, surprise and disappointment, excitement and boredom. Wow, it's getting a little serious now. Hope and despair, achievement and shame, and as well, peace and anger. Peace and anger, all within the same place. I mean, have you ever felt that way where at one moment you're laughing, another moment you're crying? And one moment you're at peace, and another moment you're like killing the dog or the cat? You know, it's just things that happen. You know, I've seen that happen many times here at church. You know, Sunday is probably the busiest time that the enemy has on his agenda to try to complex things and come into church. So you're at home, you know, service is at 9, and the alarm goes off at 7:30, but you get up at 8:15. And you're in a hurry, and you're looking for the pants, you're looking for the shirt, you're looking for this, and you bring your tongue with the coffee, and you know, the tortillas are burned as well, and you're like, man. And you're in a rush, and when you're in a rush and all the lights turn red coming to church, you ever notice that, okay? And that light in the corner is not going to heaven, man, because sometimes it just takes too long, right? And you're angry, and you're mad at each other, and you hit someone in the car, and you pull somebody's, you know, ponytail, and you better do this, you better not do that, and you better stop it, and you get off the car, and you're arguing that way. Don't sit next to me. You better not be touching me. And you're coming this way, you know, just see what, you know, on the sidewalk, and you better stop it, and you better do this, you better do that, you better go to church, you better do this, you better go to class, and so on. And you're arguing this way, and as soon as you walk into the doors, you're like, hallelujah. Praise God. And those greeters say hi to you, and they say, how you doing? And you say, I be blessed. I'm blessed. And the kids look at us with this spiritual schizophrenia look like, you know, what just happened here? Because all those emotions are all within us, okay? I want to ask someone, you know, I want to ask everybody, an honest question, okay? A question to be honest, okay? I said that wrong, okay? Is there anyone here in the house, anyone, who has never, ever been angry or suffered anger or experienced anger? Raise your hand. Because you're perfect or you're lying. Anger is real. Someone say amen. Anger is real. And anger sometimes, because it's synonymous with a number of words in Scripture, it talks about wrath. I asked him not to use the word wrath because, man, that sounds powerful. Anger, wrath, vexation, irritability, outrage, fury, displeasure, indignation, infuriated, mad, vexed. Those are all words that scare us, or they should scare us. Right? Yeah. And especially when people identify those with us and they tell us, why are you so angry? I'm not angry, some reply. This is not a cultural thing. Anger is found in so many, just to mention a few, okay? Look, in Russian is Schlotz. In Tagalog is Galit. In German is Wut. In Farsi is Azboni. In Hindi is Gusa. In Chinese, Fenu. And in Spanish, there it gets really ugly, okay? It's enojo. You gotta have a little saliva on the top of your roof of your mouth to say enojo. And you know, there's even a word for folks who are always angry. They call them enojon. And they even have a synonym to that, and they call them coraje. And someone who's always angry, that other synonym is corajudo. Dude, man, that sounds bad. And I remember people mentioning that word. It's because he's corajudo. I used to hear that word, and I used to rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, I never want to be that corajudo man. But listen, anger is real. Can I hear an amen? And the fear that we have of anger is that we think that it's wrong. Well, I want to tell you that anger is not a sin. Anger is not a sin. We just had that paradox thing happening. Right? What do you mean anger is not a sin? It's okay to experience anger, but, someone say but. Somebody's got to say a really strong but. It can become sin. You see, because it's the same thing about not just having anger, but knowing how to manage our anger. Because, like, driving is not a sin. TV and entertainment is not a sin. The internet is not a sin. But, somebody say but. How you drive can be sinful. What you watch on TV or in the movies you watch can lead you to sin. What you do on the internet can lead you to sin. Somebody give the Lord a clap offering today, please, okay? Amen. See, because it's how we manage our anger, or to some, it's how anger manages you that becomes sinful. It gets really complicated, man. It's not that easy. I needed like 5 Sundays just to define how to manage our anger, but I only have these 30 minutes, so I need to be fast on this, okay? Because anger gets complicated. Because like you know, I love to eat. Anybody here don't like to eat? I love to eat, man. But in my eating, I can commit gluttony, like we were told. It's good for me to be confident, but as Bishop told us, it can be a sin to be prideful. I can enjoy rest and sleep, man, especially with these rainy days. I love to sleep in. But I can also become lazy. I can feel anger, but also in losing control of my anger, I can sin. This is what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4. In your anger, do not sin. Can you read that with me and say it? In your anger, do not sin. Why don't you tell your neighbor, in your anger, do not sin. Getting really quiet here. A lot of wives are saying, amen, I got to say this. I got to declare this. It's indeed a complicated subject, man. I mean, really complicated. In the national, international, in the international version, anger is used 289 times. Angry is used 113 times. I mean, that's 400 times that the NIV uses the word anger or angry. That means it's a complicated subject. It's been around for a long time. And anger is real. Anger can feel good with bad results. Anger can be ugly. Anger can and anger will. Pray with me. Help us understand what your spirit needs us to understand. In Jesus' name we pray. Someone say amen. Amen. Anger will. Anger can. Anger can come from frustration. Frustration in our expectation of perfection in life situations. Yeah, some are so fixated on perfection for things to go their way, how I want it. Kind of like I said earlier, when you're running late and all the traffic lights are red, when your life partner doesn't do exactly what you expect them to do, when that pair of jeans just don't fit exactly how you want them to fit, when the waiter's taking too long, when the food is wrong, when the coworker's lazy, when the kids drive you crazy, when that idiot in the other car doesn't know how to drive, or when you don't get that well-deserved high five. Sometimes, somebody say sometimes, some folks, they just feel like they deserve it, perfection. And God didn't promise you perfection or convenience. He just promised that he will always be with us. Amen. Hallelujah. And when all those things go wrong, kids have the attitude, the husband doesn't have the attitude. I mean, the list goes on and on of things that we can talk about. We ask God, where are you? And God says, I've been here all the time. It's your anger that don't let me get in. Amen. Uh-oh. Yeah, because the eye comes in. Because they feel they deserve it. That they've earned it. That they've qualified for it. That they are entitled to these things. How many remember this scene? Okay, look at this.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Uh-oh. I don't know which is the message there, because when I got that clip, I'm wondering how many just, you know, say they're entitled, but the message is you can't handle the truth about being entitled or thinking that you're entitled. Because some of you are before, in front of God, in front of your other the folks, and you're saying, I forgave him. I'm entitled for him to love me. I did this for them. I whipped it. And you know, it's kind of like, reminds me of the scene of a dad getting in the car, and everybody's arguing and fighting, and they're going on vacation. Everybody's just screaming at each other. And the dad says, shut up, everybody. Shut up. Listen to me. We're going on vacation. We're going to have fun. You hear me? And he felt like he was entitled to tell them and to cash it in of what they've done. It's the I that always comes to try to justify our anger. Unfortunately, when anger goes beyond our control, when anger gets the best of us, anger can and anger will isolate, rob, hurt, and destroy. It's kind of like this beautiful vase here. You know, this vase represents everything you love, everything we are, the things that are most precious to you. His hammer represents anger. There's a purpose for this hammer. It's to hammer nails. No one said amen. And this hammer was not intended for this vase. But when it's used against the vase, and afterwards, you just can't put it back together. Because we all have anger. And even if you do put it back together, don't worry, my glasses are kind of safety glasses, okay? It just won't go back together right. Because that which God has given us, anger, has not been used correctly. Because anger is given to us for us to diffuse frustration, to express stress correctly, in control. Is there such a thing as spirit-controlled anger? I believe so. Just like the paradox of the extremes that we have within us. There is such a thing as peace-driven anger. rather than a piece of anger driving you. Is someone listening to me today? You know, and sometimes we think that anger is losing control. And anger is yelling and screaming and so on. Because anger can distort beautiful situations, things that we have always wanted to happen in our lives. How many remember this scene, this old scene of this old movie? Look how it goes.
Relax, Leo.
I'm relaxed.
Take a vacation.
I'm on vacation.
I love that movie. I don't know, it's because I maybe see myself so much in that movie. Anger can be losing control. And these are the things that we identify with. Look at the series of this video. It's impressive. This thing go nowhere.
Yes! Yes!
Can I get your mad picture? You're going to be raging. Hey!
Man, I don't know what he was saying, but man, just the fact that he blew up on that laptop lets me know that he was upset. See, those are the easy things that we can identify with anger because it is seen. But anger can be expressed for many different ways. It can be that subtle manipulation of situations. Or it can be that under the surface, vengeful, I will get back at you attitude. Anger can be that hurt that drives you to bitterness and hatred. And this is the word, you know, we all have choices. Can I hear an amen? These are things that God gave us, and we all have choices in how we manage them. Love is great, but if you mismanage your love, it can be hurtful. Anger is good for us because it helps us express love and what's life and what's happening with us. But mismanaging can really hurt us as well. We will all have anger, but we have the choice of whether we're going to live angry or live healed, restored, with peace, where even in your anger, you can have peace knowing that God is in control. Look at the way which Paul writes and tells us. He says, hey, stop being mean, bad-tempered, and angry, quarreling with harsh words and dislike of others should have no place in your lives. Instead, somebody say instead. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God has forgiven you because you belong to Christ. Amen. See, anger is okay when we don't sin. Living angry is not okay. Because then everything is distorted in our lives. There's some folks here today who are just angry. And that's why everything upsets them. That's why everything hurts. Because it always goes back to that situation, to that thing that happens. Anger in life happens. Angry is a choice. It's a choice. It gets demandive. It gets where it sets the pace for everyone. It almost seems like they live like, hey, I'm not going to be happy. No one's going to be happy. And you rob yourself of what God has for you. Paul goes on to say, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. I need to hurry here. It's very important. Do not give the devil a foothold. You know, this foothold, what does it mean? The word is topos in the Greek. It means a place to inhabit, to give opportunity to authority. And this is the real danger about anger. When you allow yourself to be so angry that you've opened the door for the enemy to establish himself in you to be angry. And that anger is what defines you. It becomes who you are. He creates a stronghold. It's not that he has placed it, but we have given him opportunity because we haven't let God heal us from our anger. And it becomes a spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is ugly, it's painful, it's messy. And that's the issue here, that there's no peace of God. And all what rules in your heart is anger. The peace of God is wanting to overcome that anger, but you have to release it. You have to give it over to God. I'm writing this book on traps, and I've used a number of traps that are used around the world to capture animals. And I want to talk to you about this monkey trap, okay? I'm not calling you a monkey, but listen to it, okay? This is what they do. They have these little sugared rice balls that they put around the jungle floor. And the monkeys go, and out of curiosity, they go and taste them, and they fall in love with them, and they start eating them. Next step is that they put these sugared flavored rice balls in coconuts, and the monkeys go and see them inside the coconut, and because they like them, they want them. The hole is big enough for them to put their hand in it, but it's small enough that when they grab the rice ball, they can't take their hand out. The coconut is chained to a stake or to a tree so that the monkey is trapped. And when the trappers come, the monkeys start yelling and screaming because they want freedom, but they won't let go of the rice bowl. And they're trapped. And it's easy for the trappers to go and catch them because they won't let go of the rice ball. And if they were simply let go of it, they could be free. They can slip their hand out and be free. But they won't let go of it because they like the way they taste. They like the flavor. And anger feels good. No one said amen. But in that feeling good, it's causing pain. And that's why some today are having an issue with this, because they're just not wanting to let go. Because you like hurting that guy. You like hurting that person. You enjoy being in control with your anger. You love the fact that people fear you because you scream, you yell, and holes in the wall say that, testify that someone lost control. Kids have been shattered for their lives, just like this vase, because of a name they were called, or something that was done to them, where you just went a little too far in the physical punishment. And anger has ruled the situation rather than the peace of God. Pray with me for a moment. Oh man, there's spiritual warfare happening right now. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just come and help us understand what you need us to know. Let your peace rule in our lives. Someone say amen. Amen. Pastor Ken and I are going to come up in a minute. Let me just share this incident real quickly. About 15 years ago, I was getting on a Southwest Airlines flight. There will not be Southwest Airlines in heaven. And I was like, you know, group G. I was one of the last ones, right? And I walk in, all the middle aisle, all the middle seats are available, nothing else available. And there's these two big guys, you know, sitting in a seat, and I need to get the center seat. And I tell the guy, excuse me, sir, can I get in? And he looks up at me, he tells me this: you short, bean-eating, burrito-loving, tortilla-toting, mariachi-dancing, chili sauce on everything, tequila-drinking Mexican. And I told him, man, you got it down really good. And he looked up at me like, aren't you going to get angry? I told him, you know, if I get angry, you calling me short is not going to make me any taller. I love beans. I love he didn't say burrito. He said burrita, okay? He didn't even say tortilla. He said tortilla. He was right. Why is that going to make me angry? You're old. But you getting mad, it's not going to make you any younger. There are things that are real, and people will bring out those things that think they're going to cause us anger. But listen to me. When we learn how for the peace of God to rule in our lives, we don't have to worry about what they say, if it's true, if it's not true. If they give you what you deserve or you don't deserve, so what? It's not going to change you any. It's who we are. God's in control. God is good. God is with me. And all of a sudden, that anger begins to dissolve. And the peace of God rules in our lives, where we walk confidently. Amen. Pastor Ken.
Hallelujah. Wow, what a powerful word. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Pastor Vaughn is going to come and lead us in a declaration. Can we give God praise for the word today? Amen. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment in time. And once again, we bring before you the failure of our past. We've all missed the mark when it comes to anger. But we can leave here today knowing that we're forgiven and we're empowered. That tomorrow can be a new day, a fresh start. And then instead of our anger managing us, we can begin by the power of the Holy Spirit to manage our anger for the glory of God. We believe it, we declare it, all God's people said, amen. Amen.